Well, welcome, friends. This is part two of our article that started on page 10. Today we'll be doing page 11, and we have some very good panelists with us. We have Hazel, who's usually on Let's Talk and Studio Classroom, but welcome to Advanced, Hazel. This is a good time for you to manage your mental energy.
Well, I will try to do that. So this is our awesome time today, part of it, and we hope to accomplish some things and teach you some good words and some good lessons.
And we're going to talk about some things we have to do to keep productive. You have a lot of things you have to do with writing scripts for programs and being on TV. And do you have to manage that at all?
It's hard to manage sometimes because we have some tight deadlines.
Right.
And then we have a little bit of time where it's not so difficult. But yeah, sometimes it's difficult to manage.
I think everybody goes through that. And then also we have another one of our panelists, the one who works on our Advanced magazine with us. And tell us your name, sir.
Hi, everyone. It's Albert.
And Albert. Hi, Albert.
Yeah, and it's good to be back. You know, I look forward to finding out what the other strategies are and, you know, helping our students learn some great words today.
And then we have Josh, who's been with us just a few months, and he really enjoys being in Advanced, don't you, Josh?
I do really enjoy being in Advanced. It's a great way to talk about different topics and also learn a lot about how to have the best possible productivity that you can.
Well, Josh, you've worked in, of course, in America, but where else have you worked?
I've worked in Costa Rica.
So Costa Rica, and that's in South America, right?
That's in South America, and it is right next to Panama. And it also requires that you be very strategic with how you are productive.
So you can realize as you work in different countries that there's different ways that people work. Now, do people take a little time off to rest in the middle of the day there or not?
They do something that they call a siesta.
That's Whoa. What I heard about. Right. It sounds so good.
It is very good. And the idea is that, especially in Costa Rica, it's very, very, very hot during the middle of the day because it's almost right on the equator. So usually what most people do is if they want to be productive, they get up early when it's cool, work very hard for a few hours until it starts to get too hot, and then they sort of slow down a little bit until it becomes midday, and then in midday they literally go and take a break or a siesta for an hour or two to get through the hottest part of the day, and then they'll get back to it once it cools down a little bit in the afternoon.
Sounds nice, Josh, but don't think about doing it here because we don't take siestas here. And we used to, though. People in Asia used to, didn't they, Asia?
When I first came, everyone would take a nap after lunch.
Yeah.
Oh.
They did. But that's gone forever. So forget
it, that's those days are gone, I think, for most people. But you still see construction workers sleeping on motorcycles and things.
Well, we're going to dig right into our lesson today because this is one of the speed reviews that comes from the book reviews that really a lot of businessmen get because it helps them with their life. And I hope this article will be a help to you. Do you think this article will be helpful for a lot of people?
I know already it's been helpful for me, so I hope that it'll be really helpful for a lot of people out there too.
Yeah, one of the wonderful things with Advanced Magazine is, like, even for myself, I'm always learning new techniques, new ways to navigate through life. And this is really applicable for anyone, really, because, you know, time is always, like I said yesterday, it's a rare commodity.
This is right. This is why, you know, as we try to explain what this means, all of us who teach Advanced feel that we are always learning too. And some people who are 90 years old in rest homes in the States, they listen in every day and they say they still love Advanced. And young people like it. So it's for everybody. It's your window on the world. So let's find out now how we can have some awesome hours every day and be very productive. Where should we start today, Hazel?
Well, why don't we start on the top of page 11, Strategy 2, Manage Your Mental Energy.
Strategy 2, Manage Your Mental Energy. Not all hours are the same. This is a major difference with machines, which will work the same no matter when they are operating or for how long. A brain will become tired, and different tasks have more or less impact on brain fatigue. Davis urges his readers to learn when their mental energy is at its peak. This is the time to focus on the most difficult of tasks. And they should be careful not to drain their energy just before that energy is most needed.
It's certainly true that not all hours are the same. And sometimes some people are what we call morning people, some night people. Actually, I'm called Doris Day and Night because sometimes I have to do things in the morning and also at night, so I have to manage my mental energy, but take little breaks in between. That's true, because not all hours are the same. Isn't that true?
That's true. I think I'm Hazel, not day or not night, sometimes. But this, you know, it varies for different people, and it might vary for people at different times. So some mornings I feel alert and ready to go, and some mornings I don't. And the same in the evening. So we need to learn about ourselves. We're not like machines. You can turn on a machine anytime, and it's ready to go, but we're not. We're more efficient at different times of during the day.
But, you know, sometimes we use words that kind of remind us of machines. Like we say, you have to charge your recharge your batteries. You know,
that's
you have
right.
a machine, and when the batteries, energy goes out, they have to get new batteries. So sometimes people say, I have to get away for vacation and recharge my batteries. So we do use terms like that, don't we?
We definitely do. And we like to think of ourselves as having the ability of machines of being able to, like, recharge or turn on or turn off. But I think it's important to also remember that we're not really actually machines. Like, we do have to treat ourselves as humans and meet ourselves the way we are.
Right, because the line here says a brain will become tired and different tasks will have more or less impact on that tiredness. Brain fatigue means the brain being very tired. Now, Hazel, what kind of things give you brain fatigue?
I think when I do a lot of writing, when I sit still, and especially when I'm writing at the computer, that really wears my brain out. If I'm moving around and doing something, maybe acting on TV or doing camera work.
What are you on TV?
I do a lot of skits, and sometimes I'm puppets, do puppet work and stuff. And then my brain seems to stay active and ready to go. But when my body sits still for a while, it seems like my brain starts to slow
down.
But
when you're doing the Monkey Man, can you do that?
Oh, the Monkey Man?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, I'm good friends with Ginger the monkey, and she taught me how to
act
like a monkey.
Now, does that take any brain fatigue?
Oh, no. Monkeying around is pretty easy.
But writing the skits does, isn't that right?
Yeah, but writing things is hard.
What about you? What makes you, you know, get kind of brain fatigue?
I think for me, the thing that really fatigues me is repetitious work. So work that I have to do kind of the same thing over and over again.
Like checking the spelling and the grammar and
the
articles.
Yeah, like checking the spelling and grammar and punctuation. And I find if I do it for too long, then I definitely get fatigued and then I don't work as well and I miss things. And so I have to be really aware of that.
That's true. What about you, Albert?
Well, I have to be, I think I'm on the same page with Josh, just repetitive tasks. But, you know, I feel like I've come to accept that that's just part of, you know, how it is for everyone. You know, there's some parts of your job that are not as amazing or sparkling as other things, but then it's just what you need to get done to get move on to the next thing, like writing scripts. But then, you know, afterwards you get to film it. You get to act in it. That's always fun.
Right. And, you know, when I play my trumpet or the French horn or something, when I'm symphony or playing in a band, my brain never gets tired.
No.
It's just really fun. But when I have to make a speech for some, you know, important agency and I have to give a good speech that everybody's going to listen to, my brain all of a sudden gets tired.
Well, maybe you should just take your trumpet and play for them.
Oh.
I think that might be a good idea. Might be better. But, you know, brain fatigue comes from having to think up things a lot. And that's why I think kids in school get a lot of brain fatigue. We really have to watch that so the kids don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it will make them be discouraged. But Davis urges his readers, what does he urge them to do?
Well, he urges readers to learn when their mental energy is at its peak. So this is saying that everybody has sort of a different time when their energy level is at their greatest or their highest or at its peak. And to learn when that is for you so that you can use it effectively without wasting it. on unimportant things.
So when your mental energy is at best, when it's at its peak, what are you supposed to do then?
Well, you're supposed to focus on the most difficult of tasks.
Right. So when your mind is really good, do those things first and then do the other ones. So I won't practice my trumpet till I get through writing my speeches, okay? But they should be careful not to drain the energy just before that energy is most needed. So if I'm doing something that takes a lot of, you know, brain energy thinking, and then I try to make a speech, I'm too tired. It's better to do something else first.
That's
so
true.
You have to arrange your time, don't you?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I like to do that myself, really. If I can, try and tackle the big tasks when I'm feeling all ready for it. And I really have to be aware not to get myself involved in smaller things that will make me tired.
So that's a pretty good tip. That's strategy number two. Now we have strategy number three. That's a pretty interesting one because it's something that we all have to do. It's called stop finding distractions. So let's read strategy number three first.
Strategy three, stop fighting distractions. As with decision points, distractions are often seen as the enemy of productivity. In truth, they can be opportunities for regeneration and refocusing. That doesn't mean reading the sports pages or cyberloafing on social media sites at will, Davis explains. However, daydreaming for a few minutes while looking out the window can send you back to the task refreshed and newly focused.
Well, that's interesting. We should stop fighting distractions. So we often think that distractions interrupt us. We can't finish our work. But maybe all distractions are not bad. Some of them help refresh us.
Maybe we just fight too many distractions. Maybe some are good for us. Maybe we're working too hard, and then we need to stop. What do you think?
Well, I feel like a lot of, I know of many Taiwanese coworkers or for other companies where their companies restrict them from being able to visit websites such as like YouTube or Facebook. They actually block it on their internet.
There's a reason for that.
Well, here it's saying we should stop fighting those distractions and come to accept it because, you know, it may be an opportunity to renew ourselves, to, you know, let our brains laugh a little and enjoy something fun or happy, and then it can help us refocus.
So if I see you doing that and you say I'm just refocusing, right?
Ooh, yes.
If I walk by your desk and you're doing that and you're going to say, I'm just refocusing, so what can I say?
No, I'm just cyberloafing.
Oh.
That's
no cyberloafing. What about cyberloafing?
Cyberloafing is an interesting word. So we say somebody is loafing or loafing around when they're not really doing anything. They're just kind of wasting time.
Being lazy.
Being lazy a little bit, sort of just being unproductive. So this idea of cyber loafing is that you're loafing online. So doing things like using the internet in order to just like hang out, maybe watch Facebook, maybe watch
YouTube. Says it uses up all your broadband. Yeah, for the company.
I have a little confession, and I'm wondering if this is true for you guys as well, and the ladies. Cyberloafing. I've never heard of this word until this article.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I've heard it before, cyberloafing, but it's certainly...
I've seen it.
You have the first time.
I've never heard of
this
that.
This is not
Albert. Or practice.
It's not a confession, Hazel. Yeah.
No, I mean, I've seen cyberloafing firsthand and secondhand.
But you know what it is as soon as you read the word, don't you?
But that's a good word. I've never seen the word before, but you can just know what it means. Cyber, we know, and like loafing
right.
Put together.
It's a good word.
So.
It is.
It's a bad thing and a good word, right?
According to the article, it may not be so bad.
Well, to do it at will, whenever you feel like it. You can do it sometimes, but you cannot just do it all the time. So you have to really manage these things, don't you?
You do. And I think this is the point that he's getting at, is that doing it in an intentional way in order to renew or regenerate yourself is a good thing. But just kind of doing it whenever, for whatever purpose, just because you can.
I just got to check my Facebook.
Exactly, right? That not being something you do in order to increase productivity, but actually decreases it.
That's true. But, you know, we often talk about daydreaming. It used to be more daydreaming instead of cyberloafing.
Oh.
People would look out the window, and the teacher would say, what are you thinking about? And they would, some young man would be thinking about something else and looking out the window. But now we're looking at a computer screen, so it's a little bit different. Daydreaming can be more or less surfing the web instead of just sitting there thinking, right?
That's true. So maybe next time, Doris, when you're passing by my desk and I have something up there, I'll be like, I'm just cyber dreaming.
If you're looking out the window, I'll think you're daydreaming, right?
Daydreaming.
That's right. Well, that'll be a good excuse, but if I see you doing it too often, I don't know. We'll have to check that out. But, you know, we do have distractions, all of us do. And distractions, it seems like a bad thing because we're doing something, we're trying to concentrate, and there are certain times when distractions are not good. But if we're just working too long at something, a little distraction might help us get a little relief. What do you think?
I actually intentionally distract myself when I'm doing things that are very repetitious, like proofreading.
Mm-hmm.
So I will find that what I'll end up doing is going too fast, trying to get done.
Go up and have a cup of coffee
with
Hazel.
So I'll stop a little bit. Maybe go up and have a cup of coffee with Hazel. Maybe check a news site on the web just to kind of see what local news is going on. And then I find that that little break, that little distraction, allows me to go back with the intensity that I need in order to really take my time to do my job well.
Well, that's pretty good. So these are different strategies you can use. And they're useful. And I think number four here, we should get at number four because it's talking about this word leverage that we talked about. What is leverage?
Well, leverage we talked about yesterday. So leverage was something that we use in order to really increase our ability to do something else, right? So give us more impact, more effect.
So let's find out we can leverage our mind and body connection. That sounds like a psychology subject to me. Let's read it and see what it says.
Strategy 4. Leverage your mind-body connection. There is a tendency, Davis writes, to separate the mental from the physical. In truth, mind and body are connected, and this offers opportunities to help or hurt your mental capacity by how you treat your body. How, when, and what you eat or drink, for example, can make a big difference in your mental capacity. Use the mind-body connection to your advantage, Davis urges.
This is kind of psychological here. Who'd like to try to explain that? What does that mean, Hazel?
Well, basically, our mind and our bodies are connected, of course.
Of course.
And so things like what you eat or maybe how much sleep you get could also affect your mental ability or your ability to keep going. So
well,
it's
that's
very
true. If you've had a great big meal, then you really feel sleepy sometimes.
Yeah, you do. Or if you didn't get much sleep, if you had trouble sleeping, that would also affect you. So you need to be aware of that, and maybe you can either get more sleep or be a little bit more careful what you eat.
So how can we leverage this then?
Well, so the idea here is that what you do in order to increase your ability to work, so like say what you eat or how you sleep, can really leverage you into more productivity. So say, for example, I learned a little bit of a trick about doing something to wake myself up when I'm really tired.
Oh boy, will you share that with us?
So the trick is to do what they call a power nap. So a power nap is just a very short, intense period where you sleep for maybe 10 or 15 minutes. But before your power nap, to have a little caffeine. So if that means maybe black tea or coffee, it takes your body about 15 to 20 minutes for the caffeine really to take effect.
Really?
So you have...
I mean, if you can take the caffeine and then sleep right away,
exactly.
I can, but some people can't.
Well, some people can't. And if you can't, that's going to be difficult because then when the caffeine kicks in, you're trying to take a nap and that won't
right.
work. For me, what I'm able to do then is take a real short 10 or 15 minute nap. When I wake back up, the caffeine is just starting to really kick in and then I really feel like I'm ready to go tackle something.
So, Hazel, when you walk by his desk, if you see the coffee cup there empty and his head's on the desk,
don't
know
wake
what he's
him.
Doing. He's taking a power nap.
Sounds
You're
going
to time him on that, though, huh?
Right.
It's another form of daydreaming.
Another form of daydreaming.
That's true. But that means controlling it the way you do it.
Right, so I'm taking very intentional about the way that I'm treating my body in order to give me the greatest amount of energy.
Right, I really like strategy number four because it's, in my mind, I'm thinking it as like, you know, you're treating your body like maybe a car. You have to put in fuel to make it run, and you have to, you know, take care of it. You have to feed
charge
it good
your
stuff.
Batteries.
Yeah, feed it really good things, and this way it can go really the distance that you want it to.
Okay, well, we have number five now. This is a little bit longer one, and it says to make your workspace work for you. That's a pretty interesting subject here because we've got a lot of things here, decision points and mental energy and distractions, and now we're talking about the place that we actually work, our office or surrounding our desk. That'll be interesting. Let's see what they have to say about that.
Strategy 5. Make your workspace work for you. The right physical environment will also play a major role in your productivity. You often can't change the place where you work, but there are lots of little things you can do to ensure that your workspace is helping, not hindering your productivity, he writes. These five deceptively simple strategies, Davis writes, are effective not only because they are simple and easy to start implementing, but also because they work with, not against, your biology. In this quick and engaging read, Davis makes a compelling case that the secret for creating the conditions for at least 2 hours of incredible productivity every day is to forget efficiency and draw on the lessons from the latest research in psychology and neuroscience, two disciplines that have nothing to do with machines.
Okay, the right physical environment. Now, if you have an office that's really, you know, light, the light is good and it's not too cluttered up, you can probably work better. Isn't that right?
I do think that's right. I know that I have a hard time focusing when I have a cluttered workspace. And I'm reminded of what Hazel had said yesterday when she gets started. Sometimes the best thing for her to do is just kind of like make sure that her workspace is really arranged, and that allows her to warm up her brain a little bit in order to kind of tackle work. And I find that I have the same sort of thing. I need to make sure that I have everything kind of arranged, not so much that my pencils are like all lined up, but to make sure that I have a nice cleared space that isn't cluttered.
Well, now, Josh, you have a nice workspace because you can look out the window, but Hazel can't in her office. Now, I kind of like to look out the window myself, but, you know, you can't always change that, right? Hazel, you guys can't change offices.
That's true. I can look out the window, but the view's not very inspiring. I don't look out the window too often and daydream, but... And also, sometimes my workspace does get pretty cluttered because when there's tight deadlines, sometimes you don't have that luxury of straightening out things first. But when I do have a little bit of time, it's nice to just clear things off again.
Does that help then for your productivity?
Sure, sure.
Well, I feel like, you know, you can see this at your own workspace or office where it's like, unconsciously and inadvertently, I feel like we bring things to our desk and we make it almost our second home. I remember when I started here about a year ago, one of my favorite things was like, oh, you can email that person. And I was like, no, I want to go talk to them in person, because one of the joys I enjoyed was visiting people at their office and seeing what their desk is like. You know, if you go visit Hazel in her office, it just reflects her personality, and I really enjoy seeing like that little aspect. It's like seeing what they are, who they're about.
Okay, so you have to really create the kind of place that you can work so that you can work for at least 2 hours of incredible productivity every day. That's very important. But it says it's to forget the efficiency and draw on the lessons from the latest research. Would you explain that? That's a very difficult sentence, the last sentence there.
Well, so this forget efficiency and draw the lessons from the latest research, what he's really getting at is that, so this idea of efficiency, of getting like the most results out of the least amount of work possible, is the idea that you can be like a machine and just be efficient all day long, get on and get as much work as you possibly can out of the day that you have. But this idea here is to forget that and to draw on these lessons from the latest research in order to really hit your peak times and be as productive as you can during those moments and not try and stretch it out all day long.
So think of your brain, this neuroscience, what your brain does need a little rest, and read over these. There's 5 different points. We won't have time to go into them all now, but read them over, mark the parts that seem interesting for you, and remember, give yourself a little time sometimes to take that break so that you can be more efficient when you are doing something important. I think that's the main thing we learned, isn't it?
I think it is.
The main point.
I think it is, too. I think it really is the main point, is the idea is like really hit that as much as you can.
So I hope this article will be something that will give you some awesome, wonderful time to get things done, but give yourself a chance to take a break now and then, and remember that we are not like machines. The brain is not a biological version of a computer microprocessor. Just remember that, okay? And we'll see you when we come back with a new lesson tomorrow. So we hope you have a good day today. Bye for now. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.